Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is Matthew's call in this gospel lesson. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners." So far the text. When I was in grade school, I was pretty good at giving kids nicknames, usually that weren't very complimentary. And this one kid, I gave him a really good one. His name was Jeff. I can't remember his nickname, but it really got him. And so because of that, he really made an effort to give me a nickname back. And he started off with Ted's got a big head. That didn't bother me any. I didn't have a big head. I mean, it was the same size head as everybody else. Then he had that, Ted, he's brain dead. Yeah, that didn't, my brain wasn't dead. Well, then just by complete accident, he really hit on a good one, and it hurt, okay? And that was Ted wets the bed. Yeah. Now, no one knew this, but I had a little issue with that in the past, prior to this, of course, and technically I wasn't wetting the bed. I would walk in my sleep, and I'd wet everything else, the closet, my brother, the dog, whoever's in range. But it was embarrassing to me, and he hit on that. Now, no one knew it was true, but still, I felt like the victim. I was a victim at that point, not the victimizer. And do you think I told my parents about it? Absolutely not, because I was shamed. I didn't want to be a victim. Boy, has our culture changed, huh? I mean, people are falling over each other in order to be a victim. They get their self-worth, their self-esteem from being victimized. And this kind of thinking bleeds into biblical commentaries and teaching. For example, I've read commentaries before when they talk about Jesus dying on the cross. They don't talk about salvation. They don't talk about redemption. They don't talk about forgiveness. They don't say Jesus took our sins and died as a sacrifice to save us. They'll say Jesus was the oppressed. The Romans were the oppressors. He stood up to the oppressor and he died for justice. Now, I read three commentaries actually on this text that kind of touched on this, where obviously Matthew and the tax collectors are those who are oppressed, and the evil Pharisees, the mean Pharisees, are the ones who are oppressing them. And the point of this text is Jesus is telling everybody to lay off, be nice, don't be mean to them. Well, that, for one thing, that is not the point of this text. That is so far from cultural and historical reality. Tax collectors were not the oppressed. They were I'm not saying Pharisees were nice all the time, but they were nothing compared to tax collectors. Everyone hated tax collectors, and they had a good reason to hate them, because they ruined people's lives. An ordinary worker back then, 2,000 years ago, would be lucky after taxes to just have enough food for his family to survive. Those are the lucky ones. So yes, there was a reason to hate them. And that's who Jesus comes up to at his tax booth. Now, if you go to Capernaum today, they've located where this booth would have been, all right? And it was very near the sea. And, of course, Matthew was not a tax collector like Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. Matthew was the lower echelon who would actually take the money from the people. Now, I don't know who they hated more, the head tax collector or the guy who actually took their money. Is probably a tie. And where it's located is by the sea here in Capernaum, is on something called the King's Highway. And this goes all the way from Damascus in Syria all the way around down to Egypt. This was a very, very heavily trafficked trade route. And Matthew and his tax collectors at the booth would have gotten a percentage of every single thing that passed on the way. And the main thing passing from Capernaum down south that would have been taxed would have been salt and dried fish. So Jesus comes up to Matthew and he says, "Follow me." And Matthew instantly drops everything and follows him. You ever think that's kind of miraculous? Whenever I read that happening, you know, it's just miraculous. How could that happen? You know, that he would just leave everything after just meeting Jesus. Well, we have to understand Jesus' ministry was done not privately. It was very public, especially in Galilee and most especially in Capernaum. Most of the things he does is done right around Capernaum, if not in the city itself. The things we know about leading up to this that are actually written down in Capernaum is, number one, Jesus heals the centurion's servant. Everybody knows about that. He casts a demon out of a guy in the synagogue, and that evening he heals most of the sick people in town. And just prior to this text, he heals a paralytic. All of it done publicly. Many of these things Matthew would have seen, and if he hadn't seen it, he would have heard about it. I mean, Capernaum was between 500 to 1,000 people. You ever lived in a town like that? Everybody knows what's going on with everybody. And so, yes, he knew Jesus. He certainly knew he was a healer. He knew he was an important person. And when he said, follow me, he determined to follow him. So he follows Jesus, and then Jesus ends up following him to his home where he's having a going-away party because he's leaving the IRS. Okay? And, of course, who's invited? Well, the only people who would be invited, because the only people who'd show up, other tax collectors, because everybody else hates them. And Jesus is there. Now, the Pharisees are not happy about that. Of course, they don't go storming into the house chewing Jesus out, because if they did that, they would become ritually unclean. So they wait for the disciples to come out, and then they say to the disciples, why is it that your master eats with sinners and tax collectors? And at least four of the disciples probably thought to themselves, yeah, why is he eating with the tax collectors? Those four disciples are Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Why is that? They're fishermen in Capernaum. And Matthew has physically dug into their pockets and taken their livelihood away from them for years. And so I'm sure those four disciples at least were not too thrilled with what Jesus was doing. Eating with Matthew, and certainly beyond all things, why in the world would he call him to be one of us? A disciple. Well, Jesus responds not to the disciples, he responds to the Pharisees, and he says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And that's a really important words. Because he's not laying aside his sin, he's not poo-pooing it or saying, oh, it's nothing, don't worry about it, he's a pretty much decent guy. No, he's saying, Matthew is a sinner. In fact, he's sick because of it. He's using an illustration of a doctor and a sick person. He's sick to death. Now, the real question Jesus is asking the Pharisees and challenging them is, what are you going to do about Matthew, and what am I going to do about Matthew? And let's just use this illustration again. Let's say the Pharisees are a doctor. It's Dr. Pharisee, okay? And Matthew goes to him, and he says, I think I'm sick. The Pharisee would say, actually, you're not sick, you're going to die. Make sure you pay before you leave. Whenever I think of bad doctors, I'm reminded of, I listened to a lot of Rodney Dangerfield when I was a kid. And I always remember the jokes about his doctor, you know, where he says, you know, I called up my doctor and I said, doctor, I swallowed a bottle of sleeping pills. What do I do? He still told me to have a few drinks and get some rest. Or I came in, the doctor said, I'm crazy. I said, I'd like a second opinion. He says, okay, you're ugly too. Or the real one that really relates to this is the one where I came to my doctor. I said, every morning I wake up, look in the mirror, I feel like throwing up. What's wrong with me? He goes, I don't know, but your eyesight is perfect. That's not the kind of doctor you want. Maybe you've had run-ins with doctors like that. I have, and it's not a lot of fun. Those are the Pharisees. Jesus says, that's how you're handling it. Now, how am I going to deal with Matthew? And he tells us, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. In other words, repentance is my solution to Matthew's sickness. Unlike you, I not only have come because I care about him, I come because I have a cure. And the cure is repentance, which begins with what? The second time Jesus calls him a sinner. He doesn't try to justify it or rationalize it or hide it. He says he's a sinner. But he was lost, and now I found him in my forgiveness. Now, we as Christians define ourselves not by being victims. We define ourselves because of this repentance. Being lost and now found, being dead and made alive, being sinners who have been forgiven, and being people who have lives that were aimless and meaningless, but now, like Matthew, we have been called to follow him and to bring his cure and his salvation to those who are lost. In Jesus' name, amen.